This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs the Playbook at the greatest stadium ever built, $5.5 billion with a billion-dollar screen right behind me. But that's nothing in comparison to the mindset of wealth that my next guest has. She's an amazing entrepreneur, coach, author, speaker, wealth builder. She's a quantum leader in my own opinion, but most importantly, she is now my friend. Welcome to the Playbook, Shamina Taylor.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
It's going to be an amazing conversation. Let's start on the quantum side of things, because on YouTube, you're known as a quantum being, a quantum woman. I study time. And I study physics, quantum physics, metaphysics, because I think it's the only dependent variable of how we can quantify our existence, the 24 hours a day that we're given in this lifetime. Overall, what's your perspective in the quantum, the infinite, the unknown to most people, comparatively in the counterintuitive reconciliation with wealth, to be a quantum woman, but yet so focused and wise about building wealth?
Well, I believe the quantum field has all of our desires, whatever we want. It's unlimited, right? That's in there. And I believe that, you know, whatever we want is sitting right here in the field. So if all you have to do is open up to receive it, if as long as you're able to receive, because receiving is part of the quantum field. And I believe that it's so limited. And I also believe that it's a field of abundance. There's no lack in it. And so if you can access more of that wealth in that area, because by being in the timeline for it, you will access it much quicker and collapse time, bring it to you. And that's how I live.
And so my paradigm shift in understanding how I tell myself is, in the quantum field, which I'm a part of, there's more than enough of everything for everyone.
Everyone.
There's everything. I call it my cloud. Some people may call it the Akashic Records. I trace calligraphies to clear interference. And
we're going there. Okay, we go there. I'll tell you.
And so some of the things that interfere with us are our inner ego, our inner child, our inner critic, and each of these different types of reactions to fear will create some sort of constraint on our own self-image. And we'll never overachieve our own self-image. If I pose this type of philosophy to you about interfering with everything, what are some of the things that you see in your coaching, your wealth building strategies that most people do to interfere with the abundance, the unlimited, infinite system that we belong to?
They repeat a story over and over again from their past. They live from the past every day. They bring their patterns into their humanness, brings their patterns to their every single day, and they do it in a subconscious way. Our emotions is how we create a reality. And for most people, they don't have emotional mastery. And so they can't actually access the quantum field, because I believe that's our spiritual self, our soul self. But our human is the doing and the living and the repeating and having the experiences here. And I feel like if we actually started, you know, well, this is what I do, and I do it for all my clients. When they get that aha moment and they realize, like, hey, I'm doing this thing that I always do, most people don't even realize that they're living a pattern over again. They're like, why don't I have the thing that I want? But if I actually go back and ask them what they're saying to themselves every day, or look in their environment and see their repeated pattern, we can break that. They go into infinite possibilities. Then they get to collapse time and bring the thing that they want closer to them.
And in that respect, people give meaning to that past beyond the patterns that they have. And the two things that I have found that limit people or interfere with the potential or the self-image that they have is, one, the stories that they tell will create a self-image that's limiting. But two, that they take a meaning of the failures, successes, voice shortages, obstacles, defining moment, even historical relevances of the past. And they are not aligned with where they want to be or better. And that limits in a tremendous way the access to this field of intention, this field, the quantum field of everything. What do you do as a coach in order to facilitate changing the meaning, which is a really simple, but yet the simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do? How do you help people get to that place where the meanings are aligned with their future?
Well, I get to the root of their issue. I find out what it is exactly that's blocking them. And we can go, and I use my lawyering because I used to be a lawyer. So I am
great. We both have that in common, right? Okay, recovering lawyer?
Yeah. I don't know. And so I'm
able. Tulane's finest.
So I'm able to ask the questions to get them to the answer. Because, you know, when you've got somebody in front of you and you're prepping them for court, they'll tell you some things. But you need them to tell you the things that they're not going to say in front of everybody else. So you ask them the questions. And sometimes I got to ask the question, you know, 10 different ways. And then I'll start seeing what they're saying, right? So when we can get to the root of it and make them realize that this is not as important as what they're making it. Because I heard this a long time ago. Sometimes we remember the past incorrectly. We think the past is so much more important than what we give it credit to, because we haven't gone back to rewire it or to reframe what's happening in that time space reality. And for me, when I can get someone to realize, like, hey, you didn't know any better, like, how about you forgive yourself? You know, I always say I did the best that I could with what I knew, where I was. And then it kind of gives me permission to release some of the mistakes that I've made or incidents that have happened. And I know that I can't go back and change time. So what do I want to really reframe? Is it something I can learn from? Is it something that could benefit me? How do I take the situation and make it something positive in my life, or take it as data that I'm not going to do it again? But a lot of people put so much meaning on things and they live through it like a bankruptcy. You were telling me earlier. You lost thing. Do you know how much that affects people's wealth? Because they're already coming from a deficit or a negative mindset. I owe energy. When you're in that I owe energy, you're not in the level of abundance. You're not attracting more in the field. So for me, I will find out, what is the story that's affecting your wealth? I believe that we have three core wounds: abandonment, betrayal, and unworthiness. And I can look to see in someone's business which one of those, or maybe all three, to be honest with you, they're repeating over and over again. And that's actually affecting how much wealth they're creating or accessing in that field.
Now, on our understanding or awareness, there is a spiritual side, whether it's religious, philosophical, theoretical, or spiritual in nature. It determines the way that we react to the outcomes that are occurring today. So I work within a man-made construct of 24 hours. Each day there's results, there's outcomes that are occurring. And I never have a capability of understanding or knowing how and what that outcome means when it presents itself. And so this idea of perception of outcomes, of either being punished by them, which would be directly related to the past, those that see those betrayals, the unworthiness of our past will see punishment in all outcomes. But faith allows us to be protected, promoted, and loved by our outcomes, and not be afraid of the fact that we don't understand them. I have a philosophy about humility. There is only two types of people in the world: humble people that see all outcomes as protection, promotion, and love, and those that are about to be humble. How do we get people at its simplest form to take a positive perspective and faithful perspective of the outcomes that exist today in humility, that we are not capable of understanding or knowing the results today and the impact of tomorrow of those results today?
I think everybody is so subjective on how they look at things, right? And so I think whatever it means to you, what do you want to take with the situation? Because you and I could experience the same experience right now, go through the same events, but what can you take from it that's going to make you elevate or expand to another level of consciousness? And because our levels of consciousness, what we understand to be truth, changes all the time, because it's what I can process and what I can take in. So what can you take from the situation that will make you have a shift, make you see something in a different light? Because I might take two or three steps faster because I've elevated. So I think that's it's an interesting question. And I really believe on a deeper level, it comes down to, we assign meaning to everything. And so wherever we are, we go with it. Assign the meaning to that situation, but also turn it around to say, how can it propel you into the next place? It doesn't matter if that meaning is his truth, your truth, or my truth, but is it yours? And stay authentic to what you really want it to mean. You know, and get out of the victimness.
Yeah.
Because that's where the scarcity comes from. So if you can be self-accountable for whatever situations are coming your way, and you have the power to create it, I always say that then you have the power over money. You'll have the power over all your experiences. If you can take this situation and be like, all right, this is what I learned, this is how I want to see it, and this is what I want to do with it, and take it into my future.
And being logical as a lawyer, we fall into a trap that most kids, I think, have their energy drained from, which is this difference, and I haven't met many lawyers that didn't fall into this energy suck between knowing who I am and worried about what people think I am. Most people go to law school because they're worried about what people think they are. Very few people go to law school because of who they are. I've met a few, and they're super impressive to me because I absolutely fell in this. Now that we're amplifying this issue with social media, where our children are raised under, I am only who other people think I am, and we're not focusing in on who they actually are, their skills that need to be developed, their knowledge of who and what, and their desires. In this energy gap, number one, how much of a role did that play for you, being a woman who went to law school? And more importantly, how do you help people close that energy gap today between who they are and who they want people to think they are?
You're absolutely right. I mean, we were raised to what you achieve is who you are.
During, the fetus wasn't fully developed till after law school.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I was in court all the time, so I had to really put on a mask to go in there and be with the big boys. And I had to pretend to be, not pretend, but at least subconsciously, I had to put out something that probably wasn't my truest self, you know, to achieve. Now, 11 years of going through this deep spiritual awakening and the process that I've been through, I can honestly say I have taken off all the masks and I have found my authentic self. And it's hard to be your true authentic self because you are worried, will people like me because I choose this, or I don't like this, or I'm not aligned with what you're saying. And I feel like it comes to a point in time that if we don't allow ourselves to be in the integrity of the truth of who we are, we're actually not in alignment. So everything I do, does this align with my philosophy? Does this align with what I've been taught? And when I work with clients, I feel like they make more money the more they become authentic, because they're no longer trying to, because it's energy. So if you're trying to create a program or you're trying to sell something that you're not truly aligned with, but you think what people are going to buy, it shows up all the time, right? You're inauthentic. So the more that I can get them to take off the mask, it works through the emotional work, whatever they're holding on to, they're protecting because they don't want anybody to see, because they don't want to be that humility or vulnerability. And then their belief systems. What do you truly believe? I have a saying, you get to be unapologetically rich. I feel like if you can just not say, I have to justify my wealth, I earned it, I worked hard for it, or you know, it's, you want to compensate for why you want more, then we got to work on that. But when I can get them through that possibility, then I can start saying, all right, you want more? I have a saying, more is coming. If you want more, just acknowledge that you want more. And so when I can work through their wealth aspect of the shame around wanting to be more wealthy, then I can get to the root of why they're not being their true authentic self. If you want more, just say you want more.
Yeah, I agree with that, and have experienced to even the point where I was talking about sponsoring my kids' high school football field, and I put my mission statement of making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, and having a lot of fun, and the school would not put it up on the scoreboard because they wanted to change it, help a lot of people, have a lot of fun, and make a little money. And I absolutely said, I can't do that. It's completely against what I believe in. You can't give what you don't have. And if you're teaching people to live in a world of just enough or not enough, it's not aligned with my mission of unabashedly, unapologetically being wealthy, living in abundance, not just financially, with all
everything.
Energy, with everything, exactly.
You know, your health, your wealth, the love that you want to give out, you know, just your relationships, that's rich to me. You know, that's what rich means. But rich is such a dirty word because people made it dirty,
right?
You know, because scarcity was how we were raised.
And competition and comparison, judgments and conditions that came along with it. And it's so interesting too, because in the respect of living in abundance, of truly having faith of abundance, I think people abundantly give. And I mentioned in an event that you were speaking at Aspire that, you know, people give unconditionally, but they won't be aware of what they're given unconditionally. And abundantly, they certainly, as you stated, one of the core issues is worthiness. So the minute you diminish your capacity to be worthy, the minute you won't receive all that you're given. But the true indicator to me is the one that you really help people with in this unapologetic approach. And it is exactly aligned with the characteristics of energy. So in the study of physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics, there's three characteristics of energy, which proves your point, which is money aggregates on itself. It also accelerates. All energy accelerates and aggregates, but it also creates exponentiality of outcomes. So it's x to the first, x to the second, x to the third, not 1 plus 1 plus 1. So in that concept, in the energy of money, energy of relationship, energy of whatever it is that is energetic, then we have to understand the exponentiality component of it, which then brings into consideration divine time that most people get too impatient. And I have a difficult time in my own mentoring, especially with the level of people that I mentor, that, you know, two is enough to start. They want to go right to 2 million, whether it's dollars, people, whatever their quantified measurement is. Have you learned any ways to help to alleviate the time pressure that people put on an infinite world of divine time?
Well, I live in a very different world. I feel like time is man-made, and I like to live in the presence of existence. And so for me, I look at situations of the outcomes first. I always reverse engineer what I want. So say it's, you know, someone wants to make 5 million. Okay, who do I need to be to make that 5 million first? I go into the state of my beingness before I go into my doingness. And a lot of people who are too busy trying to figure out how are too much in their doingness as opposed to the beingness. So I get people into their wealthy state of that person first. Okay, you want 5 million? What are you gonna do with that 5 million? Where's that? Where are your desires sending you? Because you can't just want money. Like, where is that money going to go? And so when I can bring that concept in, they still get the high. And I work with, you know, a lot of women who are high performers, and they are asking me, give me the formula. I need to know right now what I need to do. And then I really have to bring them back into, who do you need to be first? And that is a very hard thing for most people to do, is slow down. And why do you want the success? Where is it going to go? You know, get into your true emotions, because if you can come from a place of this feel, because everything we want is just how it's going to make us feel. But most of them are so closed off that they can't even access what if they had that 5 million. Why? What are you going to feel? How are you going to feel? So for me, the first thing I do is start bringing her back into her own spiritual self. How would it feel if you actually had this? And so what would you do with it? And I start setting them on, you know, most women are into goal setting as opposed to intentions, like desires. People are so distant from their desires. You want it just because you want it without explanation, right? So desires for me are like one of my hacks of life. And most people can't get to their desires because their head is telling them they need to have the 5 million as opposed to like their heart and soul. You know, money can do so many things, and money loves speed, and emotions attract that speed. Doingness, you can't compound doingness, but you compound emotions that'll go so much faster. And that's where I feel like the warp speed of accessing an exponential wealth goes a lot faster in time, you know?
What I love about what you teach is it hits all of the five elements of intention. It's not just in the man-made construct of this is what you need to do, which a lot of people want to know.
The strategy.
This is what you need to say, which words themselves have impact. But also, this is what you have to think, this is what you have to believe, and this is what you have to feel. And the thinking, believing, and feeling exists in the infinite, in the quantum, where doing and saying exists in the pragmatic man-made constructs. I'm a big supporter, especially of young women entrepreneurs. I think the system that I see that's been created, I have three daughters, 25, 22, and 19, all entrepreneurial, and I want to provide more options, opportunities, and touches of favor. And one of the ways that I can do that as a middle-aged white male is to provide financing, which is very pragmatic, by the way. But the percentage of women who are being funded is so low, especially women of color. And so for me, I've created Meltzer Funding specifically to help, especially within the first $500,000 of funding, to bridge the most essential dollars, to give people at bats chances. And I believe really the most capable people to make money are women, and especially women of color, because they have the desire that they must be what they can be, and you can't teach that. For you, how much of what you do is to pay it forward for the future women specifically that you are, in your way, trying to create an easier mechanism to success? And how important is just financing those women?
Well, I forget how the saying goes, but you can, if you teach a person to fish, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you teach them to fish, you feed them a fish, they eat for one day. Yeah. If you teach them to fish, they'll eat for a lifetime.
So I feel like that's what I do for these women.
So
and,
do I.
And most of them have children. And my children, my daughter, she's going to do amazing things in this world. She is so confident. You know, she knows that what she has to say is really important at the age of 16. And she's overcome a lot of things at a very young age. I'm a single mom and divorced and having to maneuver those things. But both of my children, especially my daughter, believes in the infinite idea about money and time and knows that anything is possible for her. And for that, when we lift the limits on the younger ladies, because a lot of women and maybe men too, put self-imposed limits. It has to happen in this time frame. It has to be done in this way. It's got to be done in these layers. And when I can take all of that away and I show young women, or even show the women that I'm mentoring, that you can have it like this. It might just take one opportunity. It might just take, and then open another door. And when I shift the way that they think, we end generational, you know, trauma. We end, you know, the timelines for money, like how people think money is so limited. They start teaching their kids something small. Start flying first class. Start doing things with your money. Start showing yourself that you don't have to be you know, it's going to end life. And they start doing it for their children. So to me, if I can get more women thinking like this and they start sharing it, their kids will listen to my stuff. And they'll be like, hey, mom, remember Shamina said to do this? Shamina said to, you know, don't limit yourself. You know, go get the extra whatever, you know, spend it if you want to. Invest in yourself. And honestly, when it comes to money, I feel like it's so infinite. I use it the way it was meant to be used, and I know more is always coming. I don't live in the limits of, if I want something, I'm going to buy it. If I want to do something with it, if I want experiences. My kids only fly first class. I know some people are like, oh, you're spoiling your kids. I'm like, am I? Or I'm showing them what's possible so they can take this, what they were told was how, you know, this is all they're going to have, or can I show them all the other things in life that they can have possible and still be able to be humble and work hard? There's still, you can have a balance.
Yeah, I taught my girls, we will never wait for something to go on sale. We will make enough to go get it.
We don't and do sales. Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's not the attitude. It's the one scarcity I grew up with, not the one that you do. And I will tell you this about first class. I always say, for those parents that aren't flying first class, let alone taking their children, if you don't fly first class, then your children will. With your money.
Right.
So enjoy yourself and definitely take your kids and show them, surround yourself with the right people, the right ideas. If you want to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, you need the right mindset, heart set, and handset. You need someone to give you directions of where they already are. I can't think of a better person than Shamina Taylor to give you those directions. The Quantum Sherpa herself, leading the way, empowering others to empower others to be happy. Thank you so much, Shamina, for joining me. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.